Well, greetings and welcome once again to the New Sardis Baptist Church Sunday School broadcast. On behalf of our superintendent and the wonderful people of New Sardis Baptist Church, I take great delight in bringing you today's lesson. Today's lesson is entitled, Embodying God's Justice. The printed text is taken from 2 Samuel 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 7, and then 1 Chronicles 18, verse 14. Now, for benefit of those without Bibles, and particularly for our Pearls in Process at Jail East, let me read the printed text. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said that the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although he may make it not to grow, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron, and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. And then 1 Chronicles 18:14, So David reigned over all Israel, and executed judgment and justice among his people. By way of introduction, humanity from creation has struggled with and searched for the best form of government. Government that would be fair and equitable, just and kind to them. History teaches that various forms of government have their advantages and disadvantages. We have recently witnessed a long-serving Queen of England, aged before our very eyes, it seems, and yet she seems never to even think about resigning or retiring. And we've seen the family members grow old waiting to see if she would resign or retire. That's the monarchy form of government. And the monarchy gives the people stability and a single voice, a single decisive voice. And the people adore the royal family. In fact, they worship the royal family. That single voice of leadership can be good if that single voice of leadership is led by God. But if that same single voice of leadership comes from an evil, wicked person, their rule can be oppressive and brutal. History also points to the dictatorships of the world. The dictators are those who take power, overthrow power, and they can be abusive and exploitative and self-centered. Idi Amin of Africa was one who was said to have been a mean man. Well, the media, the American press, the media of the West painted him as a mean man. Saddam Hussein of Iraq was credited with killing hundreds of thousands of his own people. By his authority, he had the authority to do it and to rule. Anybody who disagreed with him or distracted from his plan, he had the ability to kill him. That's a dictator. Then you have the aristocracy. That is, you're born of a certain breed, well-educated, well-fortified in finances and what have you. And out of that, we had caste systems came about. And people were divided along what were they upper or lower class people. If you were born in the lower class of people in the aristocracy, you died in the lower class. But thanks be unto God, the democratic form of government, where the power is distributed to all the people, and all the people have one vote in the affairs of government. The key to the success of democracy is education. How well are the people informed of what is going on in the affairs of the country? Let me say parenthetically that we need to make sure all of our people are registered and vote. Now, this photo ID hurdle that's been placed before many of us will have no value at all if we early vote. If you make sure you get people's government-issued photo ID so that they can vote, while we repeal or fight for a repeal of this law in the state of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas, look at your statute and see what is pending. But you need to be informed of the issues, and you need to go out in numbers and vote your choice. That's what you have in a democracy. And I think one of the sad things about this merger of the Shelby County school system with the Memphis City school system is that people surrendered the charter without a lot of information. I don't believe the people of Memphis would have voted for this if they had known what they are now about to reap was on the table. Suburban towns are now proposing to organize their own school system. They don't have a clue of what it's going to cost them. Again, citizens are being asked to vote for something without properly being informed. We are yet independent in the democracy, but we must have input based upon information, and it becomes unwise to make decisions without information, and they will ultimately have negative impact. What God had in mind, though, for his people was not a democracy, not an aristocracy. He had a theocracy. God had wanted his people to be ruled by him, by his rules, his regulations, his laws, his word, his ways, and his will. That was what God set Israel up to be. A theocracy. And they got to looking at other nations, neighboring countries, and they wanted a king because their neighbors had a king. And then God allowed them to do it with Saul coming to the throne, and then David, and then Solomon, and it goes on and on and on. But God never intended that at first. Let me say this to you. Say this to us, brother. God will let you have what you want sometime to let you understand what you really need. They wanted a king because others had a king, and God was trying to lead them from a theocracy, God in leadership. God's rules and ideals of government are found in his word. Now, today's lesson will be studied in a four-part outline. Number one, the Lord's spokesman introduced, 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. Second outline, the ideal ruler described, 2 Samuel 23, verses 3, 4, and 5. The third outline, the fate of the wicked foretold, 2 Samuel 23, verses 6 and 7. And then the reign of David summarized in 1 Chronicles 18 and verse 14. In our objectives for the day, we want to look at how God's guidelines for his rulers are reflected in the personal life of David and public administration of David. Secondly, is to show that God's requirements for ruling can be carried out by any godly person, or any God-fearing person, regardless of your origin. And thirdly, is to show that a person who loves and obeys the Lord can succeed in public administration and can be a blessing to the people rather than trying to be a blessing for themselves. Lastly, I want to ask us as Sunday school students, teachers, and administrators of Sunday schools that we would lead our classes today to pray for government. Pray for the city of Memphis. Pray for Shelby County. Pray for the state of Tennessee. Pray for President Obama and his family. Here's a man who has done everything that he set out to do in his first term, and yet it is never good enough. Pray for our president. Now, in our first outline, the Lord's spokesman introduced. The last word of David implies not his last uttered words or his last spoken words, but his last inspired words worthy of being documented and read. Now David's reign is coming to a close. And like Jesus, who gathered with his disciples in the upper room to share with them his last will and testament, David is introduced as such. David is the son of Jesse and is, this point is made rather to emphasize his human origin and that he was a commoner. Keep in mind, David was a shepherd boy, and shepherds in the culture of Israel or Palestine was very, very low on the totem pole. Secondly, he was promoted to an exalted position. And I say this to all of us, if you lose yourself in service for God, then when you think you have been forgotten, God has a divine personnel committee that will find your name and put your name in place. 2 Samuel 13, verse 14, reminds us and gives us a clue as to how and why he was exalted. David was a man after God's own heart. Translated, David had found favor with God because of David's love for God. Thirdly, he was anointed. He was anointed by God in the lineage of a covenant relationship that God made with Jacob. And you remember Jacob's name was changed after he had wrestled with the angel. His name was no longer to be Jacob, which meant trickster, schemer, and conniver, but his name was to be Israel, a prince who has found favor with God. So David's anointment was the seal of promise to fulfill the divine promise that God had made to Israel. Fourthly, he's referred to as the sweet psalmist of Israel, translated, the pleasant one of Israel's songs. The songs of Israel were songs of worship and praise of God, and David wrote some 73 of the 150 psalms that we have on record. David was an unusual, multi-talented, gifted leader. He was a gifted musician. And if you look at verse 2, David is pictured as a messenger. He's eloquent. He's able to articulate. He's able to speak. What an abundance of gifts that God places in David. And so God was speaking through David. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Now, like Jesus, David could have said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And keep in mind, Jesus was quoting Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. This spiritual disclaimer is made to authenticate that David is merely the messenger. God is speaking. The other prophets said it like this, thus said the Lord. So you know that I'm not speaking, but God is speaking through me. And by the Spirit and his word, was in my tongue. David wanted Israel to know that I am introduced to you as a messenger of God. Look at all the roles that David played in his servanthood to God. He was the shepherd of Israel. He was the overseer. He was the king of Israel. He was a gifted musician who wrote songs of praise and worship. He led Israel back into worshiping God. He was an anointed man of God. He is introduced. In our second outline, we have the ideal ruler described. Now, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, and here the rock is a description of God as unchangeable, steady, and dependable. And some scholars believe that this point is a reference to the ultimate level of leadership that will be found in the Messiah. Isaiah said in 11:1-5, the Messiah shall come forth, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear. Now put a pin here, because we come back to this matter of the spirit of fear. David goes on to explain the qualities of a ruler. He says, number one, that he shall be just. That means righteous in personal life and in public policy. He must be just in all that he does, whether he is seen or not seen, whether he's on camera or not on camera. A just ruler must be just at all times. Then secondly, he must fear God. That means reverence. He must reverence God. He must respect God, adore God, and ultimately it leads to the obedience of God. Now, if there is no obedience to God, there can never be any just or any righteousness label upon an individual. Look at verse 4. He shall be as the light of the morning. What does that mean? It means that you ought to be, if you are a ruler of God, a leader of God, it ought to be as a welcoming sight to the people as the coming of morning. I don't know anyone who gets disappointed because the morning comes. People ought to be glad to see us as leaders and ought to be glad to see you as a leader. Sunday school leader, church leader, choir leader. When you come, if you are under the anointing of God and under the canopy of the fear of God, people will be glad to see you when you come. Then look at this. His presence ought to have a sense of, or create a sense of expectations and fulfillment. After a rainy day during a drought, you can see grass come alive. You can see valleys and deserts spring back with plants, grass. They spring up. Now, good leaders and rulers make things happen. They don't wait for things to happen. They make things happen. They do it under the canopy of fearing God. They do it under the canopy of submitting to God's will, God's way, God's word, and God's wisdom. They have submitted themselves to God, and therefore they carry out their assignments under that canopy. A good ruler knows that God is in charge, and ultimately, the authority is not his, but it's God's. Look at verse 5. David talks of his lineage through the covenant. My house is so authorized to rule because of a covenant relationship that God has ordained. Now, that's my downsizing and downloading of it, but that's in essence what he's saying. It sounds confusing that it may be so, or it may not be of such. He could have been referring to the fact that he was born of a commoner, not some royalty or some Sanhedrin or some religious sect, but he was born of a commoner. But God so ordained it that he would be the ruler of Israel. Now this covenant orders the rule of David. Now going back to Jacob, the covenant was made with Jacob, remember? And Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and that covenant preserved on through David. And now David has a divine promise that that covenant will be maintained. And so David was a special leader in spite of his human flaws. Why was David so special? I'm glad you asked. David truly loved God and God's people and God's way, his word and his wisdom. He ruled wisely, in love, and under the fear of God. Let me ask you, superintendent, Sunday school teachers, auxiliary ministry leaders. Are you ruling in love? Are you ruling under the canopy of fearing God, knowing that ultimately God will be our judge and that God is the only evaluator that matters in our ministry? I'm asking because I've seen too many times people who got into authority and revealed what a fool they were. Had they never been elevated or promoted into a position, we would have thought they were nice people, but as soon as they got a little authority, they went absolutely crazy. Now, are you ruling? Are you giving leadership wisely, in love with the people, in love with the ministry that you serve? And are you under the canopy that says fearing God? Now keep in mind, the ideal standards were not fulfilled in David nor his family, but they were fulfilled in the Messiah. The Davidic reign rule grew beyond mere human beings. Through Jesus, all is fulfilled because of God's sovereignty. Wake up and write this down. David's biological family and rule were protected from her enemies because God had to keep his promise that Israel would never have a king on the throne that would not be of the Davidic lineage. And so God protected David's biological family. God protected the rule and kingdom of Israel because he had made Israel a promise. Let's look at the fourth outline as our time flees and gets away. The fate of the wicked is foretold. Verses 6 and 7. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. Now, let me say what that means. It says the sons of evil and worthless individuals shall be of them as thorns thrust away. Like a porcupine. You've seen a porcupine? Thorns are, and spears are sticking out. And these are penetrating, sharp, ouching, reacting kinds of effects. You don't embrace evil and worthless individuals. And you cannot grab them and take them with your hands. Downloaded worthless evil rulers who do not fulfill God's assigned roles, or evil wicked rulers who rebel against God's way, must be marked for destruction. Look at verse 7. Anyone who takes them on must be armed with tools of steel and weapons of warfare. Now when you ever clear up a thicket, you cannot do it with bare hands. You have to get an axe, some hoes, and some shovels, and some saws. You cut it down, you pile it up, and you set it afire. The fire is symbolic of God's judgment, destruction. Hebrews 12:29 says, God's judgment is a consuming fire. And beloved, this unusual heat and drought that we're now going through in this country, 100 degree temperatures on a consistent basis, that it reminds us that hell is not a comfortable place to spend eternity. Outside, you cannot get comfortable. You cannot find enough shade to get comfortable. And the relief is you can go inside to air conditioning. So this matter of God's judgment will come upon evil and rebellious leaders and those who rule and who are evil and destructive and oppressive and exploited. Those individuals, God will have them cut down and put into a pile and set afire. Lastly, verse 14, a summary of David's reign. David ruled over all Israel, executed judgment and justice among all his people. Now, that's 1 Chronicles 18 and 14. Now, David was a great warrior. He defeated the Philistines, the Moabites, the Syrians, the king of Hamath and Zobah, the Edomites. and his geographical territory was greatly increased, for he had favor with God. Now, if you want favor with God and you want your territory to be increased and you want your life to be more abundant, you get in the will of God. You follow God. You trust God. You obey God and you worship God. And the reason the enemies of Israel could not do anything with Israel, because David had been anointed by God to be a leader. Let me say this parenthetically. It's dangerous to mess with God's anointing. 1 Chronicles 16:22 says, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Some of you listening to me know of church situations where the men or women of God have been attacked. They have been weakened in their position. They have been wounded. And oftentimes, the predator waits for the prey to become weakened, and then it pounces upon them, thinking that it can devour them. But let me warn you, don't get involved except to lift up the leaders in prayer. And then stand your ground for that which is right in every situation. Israel, under David's rule, was feared by all nations because David was ruler of justice among his people. In spite of his flaws, David earnestly wanted to do God's will. I know you're talking about Bathsheba, but David wanted to do God's will. And when Nathan went to David and told David what he had done and how he had let God down, he went into repentance. Read Psalms 51. He went into repentance. He earnestly wanted to do God's will with a shepherd's heart for God's people. And for 40 years, David ruled as a king, but also served as a priest, in that he led Israel before God in worship. That's why today David is still one of the most popular individuals in the world. He feared God. He followed God. He obeyed God. He loved God. And he wanted to please God. How about us? My time has run out. And now, in tribute to the late Dr. W. Herbert Brewster, God be willing, I'll be back next Sunday morning with another word of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing else but the truth. So help us, Lord Jesus.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Ah, Yeah!